Welcome everybody to the Why Jesus class. We hope you all are well. This week we'll be in Luke chapter 11. And just a reminder that last week we spoke about the Our Father and how he is a good Father, and how Jesus modeled and taught how the Father truly was, right? He embodied the good Father. And we mentioned also too how, you know, we have to do some work oftentimes because our experience in our lives doesn't always match up with the character and the virtue that Father is and is to us, you know, and how in the Lord's will, it is his will that we would understand how great and how good the Father is towards us. And like we sang just a minute ago, he is for us. He is for you. He is for us. And how we need to get that really deep down in our souls, right? And we also know too that Jesus' prayer in the Our Father mirrored the Old Testament model that not only did Jesus keep the law, but that he fulfilled the law. And so when Jesus spoke, he was teaching, which is exactly what that Kaddish prayer is that we mentioned last week. The Hebrew prayers were about the Lord's will and about his character and all of those things. And it was a matter of their observing prayer during their, you know, their prayer services and all that, and especially in funeral services, that they would exalt, extol, honor God. Okay, so we also know that in Exodus chapter 12, chapter 20, verses 12 through 20, we have the Ten Commandments, okay? And how the first four are an expression of our relationship to God, and the last six are our relationship to one another or to people. And in the law, when Jesus was praying these prayers, it actually from the Torah or the law to teach, as Jesus was teaching them how to pray, the verb form is to shoot. So the image is really of God shooting ideas into our minds. And those ideas are from his mind. So that's why when we embrace the word of God, it does recreate and transform our minds and our thinking, and how important it is to have the word in us. And that word, when it's in us, continues to give, right? I mean, in opportune moments, you think of scriptures or things that you know about the Lord that just come by virtue of the Holy Spirit for the moment, you know. And so we have in the grace of God recall in our spirit of the things that we read in the word, of the things that we experience with our relationship with the Lord and the Father. So in the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments mirror God's mind, what he is, you know, and who he is. And it's also a foreshadowing or a pattern of how God thinks. And even though we couldn't, as a human race, keep the commandments in Christ Jesus, they were fulfilled. So it's important to remember that. In the law, love warns us. Don't do this, do this. Love your, you know what I mean? And then in the cross, it redeems. Both are true. Both the warnings of love and the redemption of love are both true, and they are defined in the character of God, and especially in the character of Jesus, as he reflects and mirrors the heart of God and the virtues of God in his character. So as we continue, we are reminded that God is relational, and that, you know, in the Old Testament, we read about if you can't see his face and live. But in the New Testament, in the fulfillment, which comes through Christ Jesus, God the Father is approachable. Jesus is the bridge between us and the Father. And, you know, like we were saying last week, we have this thing in our head sometimes that Jesus good, Father not so good, or Father mean, or Father, you know. So we have to deal with those Father wounds, right, over time. And that does happen over time. And the more that we really understand the love of the Father, that he is a good parent, that he desires good things for us, that every good and perfect thing comes from him. We understand that every intention, whether we go through hard times or not, that the end goal is that God would allow us to understand and see him in a more perfect way. Okay, so let's now go to chapter 11, and we're going to go right to verse 33. Excuse me. Okay. All right. We're going to go actually to, verse 33. Sorry. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. Now, doesn't this give you the image of Revelation when the Lord appears to the churches, right? He says to some, I'm going to remove your lampstand if you don't repent. And so in verse 34, it says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Now, I always was a little perplexed about this scripture, because it didn't make much sense to me that light can be in you and it can be darkness, you know. But as I was going through my studies, I started thinking about this. And, you know, a perfect example would be those like Saul, before he was converted, thought he was doing God a service by persecuting God's people. And the light in him was darkness. He thought it was light, but it wasn't. It was a false light. And so it speaks of deception, you know, that we can actually see things and think it's light and think it's revelation, and actually it's not. So our safeguard, really, when we start talking about, you know, our belief systems and all these things, our safeguard is that we are being discipled, that we are being discipled under those who know the word of God, who are anointed, who can impart not only information, but a living word to you, and the ability to receive grace to actually live those things, right? So let's look a little bit further. Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 19. There's so many images, you know, in the scriptures. It would be worthwhile for anyone to do a word study. Just, you can even Google light as in the Bible, Google it, and you'll find all kinds of references. And it's just that's how available information is to us nowadays, right? And this is the condemnation, verse 19, that the light has come into the world, that is Christ, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So we see this has another aspect to it, that darkness is equated with evil. And previously talking about Saul before his conversion, darkness really was the light that was dark, or deception. It's equated with deception or believing false things. And we know there are some things we really have to work through with what is being said constantly through all manner of messengers who say they're hearing from God, right? That it takes some real discernment on our parts to sift through and find out what is really in line with the word of God and with the spirit of God and with the character of God, right? So there's a couple other references too. Let's look at Acts 26. We know that Luke wrote Acts. So oftentimes you'll see a thread weaving through. What did I say? 26? Yeah. 26, verse 21. Okay, wait. I don't know that that's the right one. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yes. Okay, so it isn't verse 19. It is verse, we can go up a little bit. We'll just read verse 18. And it's speaking about the Jewish people and the Gentiles be included in the gospel, right? From which Luke and Paul are ministering, right, to the Gentiles. But for this purpose, to open verse 18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And then there's a parallel to Luke 11 in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6:22. Okay. The lamp of the body is the eye. Again, if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So there again, we see that same issue paralleled in Matthew as we saw in Luke. So we'll go back to Luke, verse 33 again. And we did read this, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the Jewish concept of a bad eye was the issue of covetousness. And covetousness, I think we often skim over as it is a sin, and we'll see how great of a sin it is. It is wanting or desiring something greatly, or wanting to possess what's belongs to someone else, or to possess something that belongs to someone else. Now, remember in Luke 10, we talked about Satan falling from the heavens like lightning, remember? Now, covetousness is directly related to Satan's fall. He wanted what only belonged to God. That's why covetousness, or wanting what belongs to somebody else, is a really not a good sin, right? Well, not that there's any good ones, but it is a serious sin, so to speak. And it's serious because the root of it is in pride, because the root of Satan's fall was pride. He wanted to have and possess what God alone possessed. And so when Satan fell, it was probably a great sight to see Satan, who was the covering of the throne of God, fall and be displaced and cast to the earth like lightning. So it had to be pretty incredible of a sight. Just think, all of heaven is bearing witness to this fall, and that we need to be super conscientious when it comes to pride and comes to wanting what belongs to somebody else, even if it's in comparison, like, you know, I wish I was administrative like Andrea and like Louise. Well, I can't want something that doesn't belong to me, because it's not inherent to who I am. It's not me. You know, it's like when Joyce said, I'm going to share me. I'm not going to be pastor. I'm not going to be Janine. I'm not going to be anybody else. I'm going to be me. And so it is important that we know our value in the body and our placement in the body and what we are called to. And sometimes it takes some discovery, right? Sometimes it comes from overcoming our fears and, you know, and thinking it's impossible to, maybe for some of you, you just think you could never speak publicly, or, you know what I mean? Or it's just really a difficult thing for you, or just fill in the blank. You could never go to a mission field. Well, if God calls you, you will have the enablement to do that. He will give you the grace to do it. But if not, just rest in the fact that God hasn't put that on you. And so why should you feel bad about something that God Almighty hasn't put on you or called you to? You shouldn't. You just should rest in the fact that you are uniquely formed, you're uniquely made, and you have a unique call and a unique part in the functioning of the whole body. Okay, so good eyes will admit and receive light, okay? But bad eyes do not. We are responsible for having a good eye. We are responsible for embracing the light, right? That revelation. And it takes the opposite of what we see in covetousness and in Satan's fall. It takes humility. It takes humility. It takes humbleness of heart and a teachable spirit to be able to receive the revelation of God, because oftentimes that revelation comes with some adjustments that we need to make, right? It's correction or a part of discipleship. It isn't always, it's not always good news to our flesh, right? But it's good news to our growth. It's good news to our spiritual life. It's good news to our freedom. It's good news to our grace and peace and all of those things. So the eye admits the light and admits the light from the lamp, as we read in the scriptures. And through it, through discipline, choice, our will, our souls receive light. Now, note that light is outside of the body. We don't emit our own light. It does not originate in us, right? We don't generate our own light. If we did, that would be darkness. like we read in the scriptures, the things that kind of confused me for a while. You know, how can that be? But that would be darkness. If we think, and again, this points to spiritual pride too. If we think that something originated in us as if we were the creator of it, or we want to take a little bit of God's glory, not to us, but to your name be glory, not to us. We want to reflect that light. We want to illuminate what God gives us. And as we take it in, but we are not the origin of that light. We are luminaries. We reflect that light. And like I said, you know, Saul believed he was doing God's work, persecuting believers. And was he really believed it so much that he martyred Stephen. Now I watched this, a little bit of a movie on Saul and Paul. And, in the movie, when Stephen was martyred, he looked at Paul, Saul, and he said, forgive him. And so that was ringing in Paul's consciousness after Stephen was martyred. It just kept reverberating in his spirit. So that was probably what transpired, even if it was just a look from Stephen when he gave himself up to the Father, and it was a breaking down or a preparation of what was to come for Paul. I mean, you know, before we come to the Lord, we start being sensitive to things that we were not sensitive to before. Maybe the plight of somebody who was suffering, or just, you know, all manner of things, but that your conscience starts awakening, you know? So Paul was under deception, like Satan, and he encountered the light of the world on the road to Damascus. That's pretty incredible when you think about it. You're just walking along, and all of a sudden, yeah. And he was blinded by the brilliance, the light that was emitted from the very person of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus appeared to him, he was blinded, I think, so much so because Jesus is the light and he is the truth, and it had to break apart the darkness that was in him. It had the Holy Spirit had to turn the light on all those dark areas in him for his conversion. You know, that's pretty incredible to think about. We know in John, you know, it says that he was the light of the world. He made the world. He created the world. He came to his own, and they didn't receive him. And so much of the rejection that Jesus encountered was really with the religious people of the day. Those who already thought they were walking in the light of the Old Testament, the rules, the law, you know, and yet they were utterly blind to who Jesus was. And when you read the Old Testament, it is a wonder to you as a believer in this day and age that they missed it. It just blows your mind, because everything in the Old Testament is a pattern and a foreshadowing of what Jesus was. He was the reality of those things, the fulfillment of those things, but it was foretold, and those things all were present in the law and in the Torah. It was all there, and yet they missed it. Wow. I mean, they're wanting to have their positions, their wealth, their reputations, all of those things blinded them to the ability. And Jesus went after them over and over again, trying to, you know, break that wall down. And so many of them refused and rejected and persecuted him and his people. But there were some We have the Nicodemuses and we have the Josephs. We have, there were some who really did be totally and completely converted to Christ. Even women who in that day, it was unheard of that women would be disciples. And yet they were, you know. Again, even John the Baptist was called the lamp, the one who carried God's light. That was it, as the forerunner and the prophetic voice before Jesus came on the scene. He was called the lamp, or he carried God's light. So all of those things are fulfilled in Christ as the true light. The pattern is fleshed out in Christ Jesus, as we see in the New Testament and all that we read about who God is, you know. Here's a couple really good scriptures and a couple things. The body is only completely lit when a lamp shines on it from the outside. So again, it's not your place of origin. You know, when we are walking in the light as children of the light, the scriptures say, then we see things as they are. The Greek is holon photoianon, something like that. Okay, but what it means is, and you can see the photo, completely lit or completely lighted, as when the light shines on you. And I think not a little light, like, you know, what do you call those lights that are out there? Those big beams, you know, that, yeah, those spotlights. It's like the spotlight, you know, where it illuminates everything, you know. And full illumination only comes when one is willing to receive light from the lamp of God's truth. Often we in our flesh wrestle with wanting to embrace the truth, especially when it comes to ourselves. We see things in other people, right? But we often miss the things that we see that we need to see in ourselves. And the safeguard is body life, is that your sister can gently say, you know, Janine, your attitude is not right about this, or whatever it can be, right? Or when we're taking communion and doing inventory, like, okay, the Holy Spirit will faithfully bring things to your mind, right? Sometimes we push those off and, you know, just say, not receiving that light today. You know, we do. We refuse the light sometimes. And the scriptures in Psalm 119, 105, this is a very well-known scripture. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus, you are the light. Our lamps represent worship, as is referenced in Exodus 30, verses 7 and 8. They symbolize God's perfection and his guidance. You know, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, showing me which way to walk, where to go. It's guidance, right? Here's a couple other references you can write down. Proverbs 6:23, when it comes to guidance. And when it comes to one's own soul, Proverbs 20, verse 27. And then in 2 Chronicles 21:7, it talks about the glory of God is its lamp. And we know that when we read the book of Revelation, that there's no need for the sun. That's how brilliant the glory of God is going to be. That's incredible. That's awesome. You know, we got to use our imaginations. God gave us imaginations for a reason, so that we would have this ability to expand what we see of God and what we know of God in the proper way. You know, that he's not just this little Jesus. He's a great big God. He's the creator. He's not just this little light of mine. He is the glory of God, you know, right? So, you know, I thank God for creative imagination. Oftentimes that's the very vehicle that we see the prophetic working through, pictures and images and this expansion and this depth of what God is speaking at the time. Let's see. Oh, Isaiah 60 verse 1. We know this one very well. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. So this was a foretelling of Jesus coming, but for us, this is a reality. Our light has come in Christ Jesus, and the glory of the Lord rises upon us as the bride of Christ. We are recipients of this marvelous light, and the glory of God rests upon us. That's, thank you, Jesus. In Matthew 5:14, it says, you're the light of the world. We are the light of the world, a town or a city built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Well, you know, you may be able to put a little light under a basket, but the basket will probably burn, right? But you can't put a city, a whole city or a whole town under. That's so important that we understand that we are part of a city, part of a town, part of a body, that we as the church body cannot be hidden. We are for all to see. When we, you know, as Lord of the Harvest are doing what we're doing, believe me, if you ask anyone who comes from outside this church and that are part of this community, they know who we are. They know who to go to when they need something. And I'm not talking only food. Now, it was a couple of months ago, one of the girls who used to come to the food ministry, she now is working, so she doesn't need to, but she came in, she had cancer and a weird cancer that was in like on the sides of her body and the whole trunk of her body. She was stage 4. Okay. We prayed for her, and you know, I didn't see her for a while. She doesn't come to church anymore. But you know what? She came and she received prayer and she received the glory of the Lord that rests in this place. And do you know what? The last time I saw her, she works at the grocery down the street. The last time I saw her, I go, how are you doing? I'm thinking, you know, she's really struggling. She went through chemo. I mean, nothing was working. It was a death sentence. Okay. She was stage 4 death sentence. She goes, I'm doing great. We didn't discuss what that meant exactly. Like, are you totally healed? But she wasn't dead. God sustained her. And I believe God answered her prayers. And you know what? Part of me is like, well, why don't you come back and testify to what God did? You know, you won leper, right? But you know, people don't, but there are people out here in this community that have experienced God, heard the gospel, had healing, had provision, had food, had prayer, had, you know, ministry to their children through whatever means, you know, is going on, whether it's gifts or food or whatever, prayer, whatever. Andrea, you've done a multitude of outreaches, and you don't know what is going on out there. You know what I mean? You water, you plant the seed, somebody waters, some bring fruition. See, in our mentality, we think a successful church should be the ones who plant the seed, water it, and harvest it. I wish that were the case, but it's not always the case, right? We know that God, in his timing, there will be a great harvest in this area because that seed is out there. That seed is planted. That seed is being watered, and that seed is going to grow and be harvested. I believe it. So, you know, I mean, we need to have laborers because God is preparing us to do some really big things in the near future. I believe it. And that means one of the things that we need to really work on is this whole area of covetousness. We need to not be spiritually proud when God starts using you in the gifts of healing, prophecy, giving money, whatever God has given you to do. Don't get a fat head. Stay humble, okay? Because God is going to then be able to use us in the outpouring of the Spirit that is yet to come, but we know it is coming, and I just can't wait till it comes. And if I have to wait till, you know, the next generation, I'll wait. You know what I mean? I'm going to be like, whatever, I'm going to do this until I go or he comes, right? But, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting that we are part of what God is doing. So we can't hide a city, right? We can't hide a town. And we are a city. We are part of Zion. We are part of the New Jerusalem, man, that's going to come out of heaven and establish itself on earth. And that's exciting. That's what our real citizenship is. We belong to the kingdom of God. And as we have been moving away from the culture demands that are on us to vote this or do this or whatever it may be, align yourself with this theory and this, whatever. As we move away from those things, we are seeing this desire and this manifestation of the kingdom of God in our lives together and you know, individually. But we're starting to see that God is building something in the house. He's building something. He's the one doing it. If we build it, it's in vain. If he builds it, it's to his glory. And he will, like he did in the Old Testament, he will be manifest in his temple glory. You know, that's exciting to me. And we read, or we didn't read, but I'll read what we sang today in Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. I love this song so much because it's about him and it's about blessing others. And it really takes your focus off of yourself. And, you know, as we move in the Spirit, that's what we will be doing more and more. What we desire, what we want, it's really not, it's meaningless, really. It's not that all that important to you as you start seeing, you know, instead of brass, we're getting gold. Instead of iron, we're getting silver. You know, we are making these trades in and exchanges in the kingdom of God, where we're taking these things that are not so valuable and we're laying them aside and we're getting the best. We are getting gold. We're getting silver. We are getting just all kinds of treasure that we see in the scriptures. You know, when you think of how in Revelation, all the glory, all the angelic beings, all the climate of heaven, all the saints and the elders, and, you know, these jewels and these gates of pearls, and just the imagery is so rich. And we are inheriting that, guys. And so we need to really be careful not to stay in a place of self-pity. Because, you know, it's easy to go there. In fact, last night Philip and I were ministering to somebody, and this gal was saying, everything in my life I have had to do so hard. It seems like everybody gets it so easy. They just kind of go through life. And I said, welcome to our reality. That's we say in our home, that's the McClatcher reality, right? And I'm sure in Pastor Oz's home, he says, that's the Osminski reality, right? Welcome to our world. Everything we do is hard. I mean, some things are easy, you know what I'm saying, but I mean, we are mining something that is valuable. And you know, we are doing it together, like we see in Nehemiah. You know, I was thinking about this on Sunday, you know, when we were singing, you know, break every chain and all this stuff. And I just felt like the Lord just speak to my spirit. I'm creating a new chain. And this chain is one arm linked to the next, and family members and whole people groups from variety of different backgrounds and ethnicities and all this, that's the chain God is making. So in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, God is light, and there in him there is no darkness at all. So we want to embrace, we want to receive the light that God has for us. He wants us to. He's not holding back. He's not reserving something that you have to worry about. There's not going to be enough to go around. He's got everything we need, everything. Every good and perfect gift is from God, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. So, you know, just be encouraged. Just be encouraged that, you know, we want to have a good eye. We want to receive the light. We want to do inventory as the Holy Spirit leads us, not how, you know, the enemy beats us up and condemns us and wants to shame and guilt us. Don't go there if God doesn't lead you. Don't worry about it. He'll take you there when you're good and ready. He's real faithful about that, because he wants for himself a bride without wrinkle, spot, or blemish, a bride that is brilliant, a bride that shines with his light, a bride that is a reflection of his great expanding love. And it's in that love is all encompassing. It's, you know, that love of our bridegroom should enthrall our hearts to just want more and more and more of him. You know, and I see that hunger and desire. And, you know, Pastor Oz has been talking about that. We're on the same page as a body. You know, we don't have dissension. We don't have a variety of things that are going to cause problems between people. We've worked very hard at some areas of forgiveness, right? And maybe being misunderstood of all kinds of things, bitterness. But we've worked through a lot of different things. And you know what? When you do that, you get gold. You really do. You know, there are some relationships that I have that have been, you know, I've been in relationship with some of my friends for, you know, 25, 30, you know, Ozzy almost 50 years, Jan almost 50 years, right? But that we went through some hard things where you could just say, I'm done, I'm out of here. I'm sure Ozzy and Jan have felt that way more times than not with me. No, I'm serious. Like, you know, let's get rid of her, you know, but no, not really. But you know what I'm saying? There are times that we are a liability, is what I'm saying. And that's when we work through embracing the cross, growing with Jesus, receiving that light, doing the inventory and doing the work that it takes, you know, in sanctification and repentance and healing and all those things that we've been talking about. When we do that, we grow in authority in that area that you overcome, whether it's, you know, it could be just a myriad of things. I don't, you know, you guys have your own examples and you know what God is dealing with you, each of you individually. And we know as a church, we've been dealt some very hard blows. I mean, cut off at the knees kind of blows. But because God has given us the grace to persevere, we've come out the other side victorious, full of his light, full of overcoming, you know, just wanting more of him. And not only that, but we are a model city. We are a model town when it comes to the churches in the area, you know what I mean? Or maybe even in the state or the nation or whatever. But I know one thing for sure, because of the prophetic word that's been given to us, that we are a pattern and a model of the things that are to come. And, you know, we don't condemn anybody who's not there, you know, because they're going to get there, because God loves his bride. He loves all of his churches. And, you know, he speaks to each individual church like he did in Revelation, you know, make adjustments here. This is, that's what the Lord does. You know, he evaluates, he encourages, and then he sets it right. He gives every church an opportunity to get it right so that we as the church, right, can be a model and a pattern to the lost and dying world. Amen? Amen. Well, Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I ask your blessing to be upon Louise, upon Carolyn, Lord, and all those who are listening to this message in the future, Father. And I ask your blessing and your face to be towards them. Lord God, I pray for their success, Lord. I pray for their prosperity in the spirit. I pray for their desires, Lord, to seek your face, Lord God, to do the one thing that is necessary and needful, Lord God. And we thank you for these ladies here every single week, Father. And we ask your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.